And how was your first week? Do you recall what that was like?
It was a blur. Like, I barely remember my first week. It was just, okay, this is what I've got to do. Every job took me a long time because I wanted to make sure that when I delivered the dog back to the customer, that I was happy with how they looked. So that was, I was slow and patient, but I loved it. I knew from the very first week that I would continue to do this for a long time.
So today we're joined by David from Jim's Dog Wash up in Coffs Harbour there. So thank you for joining us today, David. And we'll get this out of the way with the Accor voucher. So we give this to all our franchisees who jump on the Jim's podcast, which is two free nights at any Accor hotel, up to 50% of dining and a bunch of discounts and stuff like that. It's worth around $600. So we'll get that to you after the interview. And just want to start up with first, David. You've only been going with us since August in 2023. So yep. What were you doing prior to Jim's Dog Wash?
Before that, I was a teacher and assistant principal in public education.
Really? Wow. A tough gig. Was it high school? Was it primary? Or
Primary school.
Primary school.
So, yeah, taught everything from kindergarten to year six and loved it, to be honest. But it's just gotten harder and harder over time. And as an assistant principal, more and more things to do and no extra time to do.
It's a very tough job, but as you said, people who do it love it and they do it for the because you're really giving back in that role. So what was it that just prompted the change, as you said? Was it just had enough of it, or was it something where you just couldn't see yourself doing it any longer, or what was the reason for changing?
Nothing to do with the students. Students were fantastic, but I ended up in a school with a principal that didn't run things the way that I think they should be run, and that kind of stifled my creativity and my teaching a bit. And so I decided I'd take long service leave and go and join Jim's Dog Wash.
Long service leave and not come back.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm still on long service leave at the moment, actually. So I'm still getting paid by the Department of Education while I get my business established and up and running. So
how long were you in teaching for then?
15 years here in Australia. Wow. 5 years in Japan before that.
Really? 5 years in Japan. Wow, that must have been a good experience.
Yeah, so I was an English teacher there. I wasn't a qualified teacher. I did one of those things where you have a bachelor's degree. Yeah, bachelor's degree and native English speaker, and you can go and teach English in Japan, and ended up staying there 5 years. So
it's amazing.
Loved it.
So when you're on the long service leave, you're like, I don't want to go back. And I presume you would have looked at a lot of different things and seen what you wanted to do. So how did you come across Jim's Dog Wash, and what was it that excited you about that one?
Yeah, I looked at a number of different dog wash opportunities. And I think the thing with Jim's that sold me on Jim's in the end was the training that they provided, the ongoing support that's always there, whether by phone or on the franchisee Facebook page or whatever it might be. There's always someone I can call if I've got a question or I need help with something. And the opportunity to expand my business, which isn't there with a lot of other franchise opportunities.
And was it always the dog grooming field you wanted to go into? Were you looking at other areas as well? Or
I looked at other opportunities in terms of starting my own business, but none of them offered me the personal satisfaction in work that I found in teaching and wanted to still have. I just love dogs and I love working with dogs every day. Yeah, I love every day of my job, which I did in teaching for most of the time that I was a teacher. So I wanted to find something that still gave me that level of satisfaction, but meant I could pay my mortgage as well.
Yeah. I was going to say, so what type of dogs do you have?
I have a golden retriever and a border collie.
Oh, wow.
They are divorce dogs. So they live with me 1 week and with my ex-wife the other week. They travel with my son. And me being a stupid dog lover, I just got another border collie puppy.
Very busy. You're going to be a lot of energy.
Oh, she's unreal. But yeah, there's a few sad things going on with her. She's got a heart murmur. It's got to be investigated. So she was given to me free as a result of that. So I said, I'll take her, I'll look after her, see what happens. So yeah, I'm already in love with her though. So
hopefully it all goes well. I was going to say, well then with the training experience when you came down to National being a teacher, how did you find it all from your perspective?
I enjoyed it. There were some presentations that engaged me more than others.
Yeah.
And I'm not sucking up to you, Joel, but yours was excellent, particularly the stuff on managing your Facebook page and using ChatGPT and that kind of stuff. I found really great. I'm very plain speaking and direct in the way that I write things. So ChatGPT, using that to put a more marketing friendly spin on my posts.
And you've been doing that. That's fantastic.
Was very, very useful to me.
That's great.
I don't write nice fluffy things. And ChatGPT has been really good in terms of making it a little bit softer, I guess.
Yeah, you know, it's a great point you mentioned, Dave, and I do the same thing. I'm very direct when I write to staff internally, but writing to externals, I do that as well, and they might think I'm rude, so I do the same as you. I'll write it, and then I'll chuck it in ChatGPT and just say, make it a bit more informal, a bit more extended a little bit, and then I'll put it back in, and it makes me seem a lot nicer in my writing than what I can be with. So I've got a similar thing to you. I'm glad to hear you use it. But with the training experience, what was the thing that you took away back with you? Or what, was it an impactful session? Was it something that Jim said? Or what did you go away from there, sort of take away from it?
Yeah, customer service, how important customer service is. And I've been trying really hard with that. I've had some excellent reviews so far. I did have one complaint, which I sorted out straight away. And that turned into a 5-star review as a result. That customer service side of things and making the customer feel special and important and making that dog feel that way as well was what I took away, and it's what I've been trying to apply in my business. And I think I've been doing that fairly successfully. So
now, how do you do that? What are some things you're doing?
Talk to the customer, get to know them, ask them questions. It's funny, I do take some things from teaching. So one of the strategies that we used to connect with students was, you know, take that one little thing that they tell you. You know, they tell you that they play rugby league, or they tell you something about what they do on the weekend, and remember that and ask them about it the next time you see them. So I've been trying to apply that in my business. You know, when a customer tells me that their dog is turning 19, I get back to them and ask, like, how'd your 19th birthday party for your dog go? And they said, send me a photo of the dog having its 19th birthday party with a little 19 badge and balloons and that kind of thing. So, yeah, just trying to apply that, but also make sure that the level of service that I provide is the kind of service that I would want with my dogs.
Yeah. You said a really great piece of advice, and I think that's a fantastic bit of advice. It sounds simple, but like people, when they speak to someone for the first time, will say a certain thing, as you said, and it's something you can pull on, and then you can build that relationship. And that's a really, really good point you mentioned. And I think some franchisees do it and some people don't, but it's a really no-brainer to form that connection. It's a really good point. And yeah, you got no complaints or anything like that on the system. It's wiped, so you're perfect 5-star rating. And I presume you get a lot of referrals. Do you get a lot of referral work?
I have been getting a lot of referral work, particularly from customers that I know have given me 5-star referrals. So they, you know, talk to their neighbors or talk to their friends, and that results in more business, which is, you know, absolutely what we want.
Yeah, you know, so you get a lot of referrals on the system because of the ratings we have internally, obviously. So you get a lot of referrals, which is fantastic already so early on. Now, are you booked up fully in your business, or you taking work still? Or
I'm still taking work at the moment. I'm obviously, having just started out, I did my training. Some of it was here in Coffs Harbour, some of it was in Port Macquarie. I'm hitting that point in my business now where I'm getting the repeat customers.
Yep.
So I'm less reliant on new leads now, but I'm still thankful for the new leads that are coming through for gyms. They're kind of filling the holes up in my schedule. And I'd say, you know, in the next couple of months, I hope to kind of hit the point where I'm close to fully booked.
It's fantastic. You know, you haven't been even gone for 2 months nearly, and you know, just be at that position already is fantastic. And I was going to say as well, with your training of the dog grooming side, how did you go about that? Because that could be daunting coming from a completely unrelated field. If you've never done it before, a lot of people would have gone through the same experience you've gone through. So how did you find the dog grooming side of it, and how you've been going with that?
Really, really good. I was nervous at first, but just kind of jumped right in. I had a fantastic trainer. She was excellent and very patient with me. Was really great with her feedback. So she would tell me how I could do things better, how, you know, what mistakes I was making in what I was doing. And so I was able to correct that, work on it straight away. you've got to be open to constructive feedback. If you, you know, particularly when you're learning something new, you've got to expect that you're going to be told that you're doing something wrong.
Yep.
And how to do it better, not take it to heart, but just use it to improve yourself. So I found my trainer really, really great. She was outstanding. Shout out to Susie. Just, you know, we got along really well. She was really professional and showed me everything that I needed to get started. From there, like, I don't feel like I'm an expert yet. So I take a lot away from the Facebook franchisee page. You know, there's a couple of people who post on there really regularly with tips about how to do different things better. Been using those as well as YouTube videos to see, you know, different techniques to just make my work smoother and a bit neater, which hopefully will come over time.
What are some things you've maybe implemented recently from the Facebook group? What are some tips? Because that's great to hear that franchisees are sharing knowledge and in that format, which is really good. Because normally before Facebook and stuff, it was at meetings and that would be it. Someone would find something out. So it's great that the Facebook group's active with that sort of information.
Yeah, so I've been getting quite a lot of D-shed jobs,
yep.
Which I love doing. I find very satisfying.
Really?
I know. A lot of people don't like doing them. I love doing them. And I have to D-shed both my own dogs. So I practice on them. And there's some great advice on how to do it differently, which I was looking at yesterday, actually, because I had a couple of D-sheds yesterday. They took me quite a while. So I want to do them in a shorter time frame, but still with the same level of quality. And there were some great tips and advice on the Facebook page for that. So I think Jade Kobe has some excellent stuff on there for de-shedding. She says she can do it in an hour. I don't expect to achieve an hour for a while yet. But the different products that she uses and the different strategies to de-shed the dog in a nicer way as well, like so that it's not as rough for the dog.
And how was your first week? Do you recall what that was like? And how did you go on that the first day can be, you know, whether it be the first day of a new school or something, it'd be very, very daunting. So how was it going?
Absolutely. It was a blur. I barely remember my first week. It was just, okay, this is what I've got to do. Every job took me a long time because I wanted to make sure that when I delivered the dog back to the customer, that I was happy with how they looked. And so that was, I was slow and
nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
Methodical and patient. And yeah, but I loved it. I knew from the very first week that I would continue to do this for a long time.
That's great to hear. And did you end up doing a trial day before you jumped into Jimmy's Dog Wash or did you?
Yes, I did. Yep. Thanks to Meg. So Meg's the other franchisee here in Coffs Harbour.
Yeah.
When I first contacted Jim's, my hope was that there were no franchises here in Coffs Harbour. And I think when I first contacted, there wasn't. And then I was a bit slow in kind of making some decisions around, well, am I going to do this? Am I not? And in that time, Meg started franchise here in Coffs Harbour. And then I kind of thought, oh, should I still do it? Like, there's already a Jim's now. And part of the attraction to me was there was no Jim's. And I thought that would give me a real benefit. And so eventually I went on my trial day with Meg. And I asked Meg when I went out with her, is it okay if I start a second franchise here? Like, are you cool with that?
And nice of you.
And she was fine with it. She seemed to think, oh, yeah, there's more than enough work.
Yeah.
And that gave me confidence to go ahead, actually. Like, that was having the day out with Meg made me feel, yeah, that it wouldn't be us in competition. It would be us in collaboration. And Meg was fantastic. She was just, you know, really professional. And she came from a background of no experience, which made me confident that I could do it.
It's very nice of you to ask. I don't think I've ever interviewed a franchisee where they've asked somebody, is it okay if I start as well? It's very considerate of you.
I didn't want to start off with a bad relationship with the other franchisee in town. I just figured it's the right thing to do.
But it's a natural reaction, though. You think, all right, there's only a limited amount of work in the area, and that's it. If I come in, it might not be enough work. But as you would know, more things are driving around with gyms on mobile billboards, the more people go, oh, didn't know. And then you get, as you know, from the amount of work that comes through, it's quite busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens a lot. Happens a lot in the division where we have people think that, and then they come in and they realize, oh, it's actually, we could do probably more people. So it just all depends.
It's fascinating, actually, that it probably generates more work for both of us. So yeah, it's been really good. And I've actually called Meg a couple of times to ask some questions about a couple of things. And she's always happy to help me. She answers my calls when I call her, as does Susie, my trainer. So whenever I need anything, there's always someone there to go to.
Hey, how do you find the environment in the trailer? Because you've come from a school where you would have had people around you all the time and kids, and now you're in the trailer, which is generally by yourself or just you and the dog.
Yeah.
So how have you found that?
I love it. I have worked in public education for 15 years, and every school I worked at had air conditioning. And then my last school did not have air conditioning here in Coffs Harbour.
Oh, wow.
And it's humid and gross and awful for the students learning. And so I love having air conditioning in my trailer. I can listen to music all day long while I work. Like, I don't feel isolated. I feel that's my little workspace and where I apply my trade. That's what the way that I look at it. Yeah, I feel at home in there.
That's great to hear. And I was going to say as well, with customers, what's your advice maybe for customers? Like, maybe you want to tell them about the services that you do as well, just if they don't know. And also maybe some advice for customers, because I presume from interviewing a lot of dogwash franchisees I've done, obviously there's a different types of breeds that need a level of maintenance and it's not done and it causes issues. So maybe you want to talk from your experience from professional grooming side, some stuff for customers to consider.
Yeah, probably the two things so far is that double-coated breeds need to be de-shed. If you don't do it, they end up with way too much on them. They're hot, they're uncomfortable. And that's coming from someone who has double-coated breeds and did not do a good job looking after them. So I'm not trying to tell people how to look after their dogs, but because I wasn't doing it very well. Now that I do it well, I see how much happier my dogs are and how much nicer their coat feels all the time. And that's just about learning. So the other one would be, if you've got a dog with oodle in it, please brush your dog. Please, please. It's just, I have had some awfully matted dogs in my first 6 weeks of work, and they are that way because they're not being brushed, they're not being looked after the way that they're meant to. And often it's a case of not knowing that those dogs need to be brushed all the time, and when they get matted, it's really painful for them. So my trainer told me not to do matted dogs. He said, don't do matted dogs. But I do matted dogs because I feel bad for the dog and I want to make the dog feel comfortable again. And she taught me how to do it better. And I'm still, there's also, again, the Facebook page would be great in seeing how other people deal with dogs that are really matted, how to do it in a time frame that still means it's a profitable thing to do.
And also the customers as well, they might want to look a certain way, but you can't make it look a certain way if you've got a shave, right? So it's one of those things where customers, just if they want their dogs to look a certain way, is it a daily brush you recommend, or what's the recommended brush?
I would say daily. The dogs that are the easiest to clip and are usually the happiest and the most comfortable are the dogs that belong to retired people, usually. It's funny because they brush their dogs every day. They spend time with that dog and they brush it, and it's always easy to clip. The dog's happy and comfortable. They can be kept a little bit longer if the customer wants them that way, because it's there's no matting in their fur. You've got to brush them regularly.
I'll ask this question to everyone. Is there any particular types of breeds you like working with, or is there more favorite sort of breeds you like, or is it just personality based?
I love golden retrievers. They usually hate being washed, which makes them a little bit tricky to do sometimes. My golden retriever hates being washed, hates being de-shed, but I just love doing them. They look so good afterwards. They're so fluffy, and they don't hold a grudge after you've washed them. But yeah, I love doing golden retrievers. I love doing de-sheds on golden retrievers. I have another business here in town, actually, one of the coffee shops. The owner of the coffee shop has two golden retrievers, and she gets me around regularly to de-shed and wash her dogs, and I love doing it. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just something about golden retrievers. I've had mine. He's nearly eight now, so he's been part of my life for a very long time.
I was going to say, is it every, with the regulars, I know different breeds are different, but is it every 4 weeks or is it every couple of weeks or how often are you going around?
Every 4 to 6 weeks, yep. Usually. So it just depends on the customer. Some of them it's financial, you know, because there's a lot of financial pressure on people at the moment. And so some of them are doing shorter clips so that they get 6 weeks out of it. And that's understandable, you know. I think you've got to do what you can afford to do in this inflation climate.
That's true. And I was going to say as well, looking back on when you started, is there any sort of advice you'd give to maybe new franchisees or just new people in the grooming industry? What would you say to them looking back on what you've done?
I would say just try to continue to learn. Like, don't think that you're ever going to be an expert or a master level without doing the learning and practicing that you need to do to get better, better. You know, if we're not constantly learning in our life, God, I'm such a teacher. If we're not constantly learning, I think life gets very boring. So we've got to constantly be trying to improve our skills and improve the way that we do things so that we're delivering a level of service that sets us apart from other groomers out there.
Is there a particular YouTube channel or anything that you recommend or that you go to, or is it just something you search for the breed? Or
I usually, there's quite a few that I look at, actually, but there's a guy in China who's just the most amazing groomer of all time. The things he can do with poodles, I just can't see myself ever reaching his level. But I do love to watch his videos. I cannot for the life of me remember what they are, but there are some links through the Facebook group that I've watched, and then I've gone on and watched more of his videos. But yeah, just the things that he can do. I sat there asking myself, how does he get the dog so fluffy before he clips it so that he can clip it so evenly? And then you watch him do it and it helps you to understand how they get it that way so that they can make it more even for clipping.
And well, I think dog grooming is such a great one because you've got so many different breeds and you've got customers who want maybe different things. Like there's just so many different cuts and styles you would have to know. And every week it almost seemed like you'd have to learn something new in regards to different cut or style or breed.
Yeah. Poodles really scared me at first because there are like literally hundreds of different styles that a poodle can be cutting. Most customers don't want any of that though. They just want you to cut their poodle so the poodle looks nice. So I'm not scared of doing poodles anymore. I feel more confident. I did my first poodle feet the other day.
Okay.
And that gave, and the customer's really, really happy. She said, oh, it looks fantastic.
Is that where you shave them up here and you have like the boots, so, the fluff?
Yeah. So if we're looking at, the paw, so this part is almost, is really, really short. And then there's the fur here is longer. So the paw part is really short. So they call that poodle feet. And like, where do you stop? And where do you start going longer on the legs? And it's funny, like a customer asked me to do the leave the leg poofy the other day. That was her expression. And so I did. And then she wanted me to come back 2 weeks later and she said, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I should have just made them normal. She wanted that real poodle look. And then she realized like 2 weeks later, the legs had grown and looked a little bit strange. Not, you know, just because they'd grown and she needed to get it clipped again. And she thought, oh, I should have just done it shorter so that I get at least 4 weeks out of it. That's good for me.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, thank you very much for joining us today. And I remember your face from training, so it's great to see you're doing really well and hear you're doing well. And thank you for sharing your story today. And I'll get this to you as well, your call after it as well. You get an email from us in 5 business days or 6. Just click the link to create the account and you'll get a card in the mail. And you can use that wherever you need. But
okay.
We appreciate it. But it's great to hear you're doing so well so early. And thanks for talking to us today about it all. And yeah, I'm sure Susie and other people in the division will love to watch it, so we appreciate it.
Thanks, Joel. Thanks for having me on.
No, thanks, Dave. See you, mate.
Okay, see ya.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the episode of the Jim's Podcast. If you want to learn more about the Jim's Group, head to jims.net or call us on 131 546 Australia or 0800 454 654 New Zealand. And if you did like the episode as well, please make sure you leave a review or a comment or a thumbs up or a comment on the video as well. We appreciate your support. And until next episode, we hope you have a great week.